Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5. A Gao Media Station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. It's The Usual Suspects. As you people normally do, you follow us during the day, 1 to 4 p.m. on ESPN 97.5. We are live from the Houston Open Golf Tournament out here at the beautiful Golf Club of Houston. It is a fantastic day. Drew collects meals like he collects sunglasses. He is stockpiling both as he continues to think about his eighth meal of the day. But the marketing department is out here. The marketing department is handing out goodies and T-shirts, and we've got sunglasses and chapsticks.
Are we handing out T-shirts?
Yeah, for the bench.
Are we competing with the Jim Beam ladies to give out sunglasses and chapstick? Are y'all going to fight? Is there going to be like a promotions team rumble, Royal Rumble, where you guys are going to all just square off and fight?
Drew left his skirt in the media tent, but he can go back and get it as long as he gets more food and sunglasses.
Chapstick,
not so much. He likes ashy all over. It's his look. On a regular basis, he prefers ashy. Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Now, if you had suntan lotion that he could manipulate into more of a kind of a less ashy look, he'd like that.
Wow. Drew, he put you on ashy, and I don't know why. You don't look ashy to me.
Drew, you know that they have, like, right where you walk in, all those tents, there's, like, a plethora of free stuff. And now you're not going to get as much food.
Yeah, but it's not Jim Beam sunglasses.
No, but you're going to get, like, lots of other things, like lotion and...
So, I think my question is the Jim Beam free or do we have to pay? Because that's going to determine...
No, he's talking about the alcohol, not the shades and the chapstick.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the actual
alcohol. She was slinging drinks off of a tray before.
I wouldn't mind a Jim Beam right now. That would be nice.
Make a trade, Barry. You can mention them on the air for a couple of drinks.
Yeah, right. Get a free drink. We should bring them on the show.
I wouldn't go that far.
And see if they're going to fight.
That would be good. Because I'd take Tosh whooping all their ass.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
Tosh doesn't have to lower the crown of her helmet. She'll take them right on out.
Feisty.
Look good doing it.
Hey, somebody, we have a call.
Yes.
Who is it, Nick? You said?
Juan, right?
It's Juan.
Juan wants to talk NFL defenses.
Juan, what's up?
Hey, I don't want to sound like a smart aleck, but I wanted to ask Joel who you thought, well, whose fault is it if the person or the player trying to stop the ball doesn't have enough time to adjust to the ball moving so fast?
Whose fault is it?
Yeah, whose fault is it if the person trying to stop the progress of the ball
doesn't have enough time? So what I was referring to, I don't want him ejected. My whole thing is, if a guy is going balls out and he's going 100 miles an hour trying to catch a receiver going across the middle, and the receiver decides to jump or duck or whatever the case may be to where there is a helmet-to-helmet contact, that's where I don't want an ejection. I don't want to penalize a guy for a hard play and not being able to athletically make – and just human from a human perspective, human performance perspective, being able to adjust on the fly, in the air, whatever the case may be. 15-yard penalty, I totally get. And I'm not trying to penalize either side where there's – I don't want to say there's any fault involved here. You can see that guys have it in their mind. They're not – if you can – with the replay involved, you can tell when a guy is spearing a guy, when a guy's full intention is to tackle helmet first.
Mm-hmm, yeah, right.
Go ahead, Barry.
You understand that most tackles nowadays lead with their helmet. If they're going to have to replay this.
Not crown down.
This, oh, yeah.
Because you're taught to tackle with your face mask
you're
up.
Taught, yeah, well, kids nowadays.
There you go. I mentioned that.
Kids nowadays are taught that, but back in the day they weren't.
Well, I mean, I'm just going by what I see on a week-in, week-out basis. And like I said, that's why I don't want the ejection. I don't want a guy that makes just a hard-nosed football play that is in the wrong place, wrong time, because of the fact that a receiver reacted differently, to be thrown out. Because that will affect – you've seen it in college. You've seen college where you don't have, like, at every single position, five-star athletes, where you got a guy that's the most dominant defensive player on the field, and all of a sudden, because one tackle, you know, he couldn't ease up, and he gets not only ejected for the rest of the game, but the first half of the following game, that really affects the team's season.
What else you got, Juan?
That's pretty much it. Just here we go, Steelers. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. We also had a text that said, how is a running back supposed to adjust to this leading with the helmet rule when they're taught to run downhill?
That's the crazy thing. I get it from a tackler's
perspective. When I'm talking about the fact that this is going to slow down the game, not only is it every tackle where guys are putting their head down, and not every tackle, but I would say at least 40% of the tackles that occur, a guy lowers his head to make the tackle. Think about all of the secondary. Guys don't wrap up in the secondary. They lead with their helmet. That's what they do.
With a forearm, a shoulder.
But their head is down. And that's what the rule is. If your head is down. So now you're going to have to review those. You're going to have to review when a running back does it. And now when a lineman is going to make a block and he's diving into a dude's legs, was his head down?
Yeah, I mean,
was he leading with his head? Man, this is it's a little too much.
And the more nitpicky you're going to be, the running back running with his head down, or like you said, the lineman contact, which on every single play in the trenches happens.
This is going to be – listen, I'm not opposed to getting this fixed because I'm all for player safety. That's not – but my thing is I think they need to be a little more considerate, just saying, we're going to do everything and try to fix it later, man. You talk about affecting the product on the field. This could be bad.
No, I'm totally with you. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing everything's always a work in progress. But when you talk about the work in progress on something like this, it's concerning to me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So somebody said 25 years ago we were taught in Little League to tackle with your head up. Okay. You think everybody does that? Because if there was, the last 25 years of CTE issues and the rule change would imply otherwise. Yeah. It's not happening. That's not how the game is played. Hey, Dale, why are you taking all the water, bro? What's going on here, man? Stealing all the water.
Dale, you've seen all the golf you care to see? Yeah, Dale's done. There you have it.
Josh and Beaumont said every QB sneak will be flagged now. That's true. They put their head down.
Well, a lot of them, too, when they go over the top of the pile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's happening at the same time that the QB's going over the top of the pile? Linebacker's diving over the pile.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a double flag. Both players ejected. Come on, man.
Offsetting penalties, though.
Doesn't make sense.
Lose yardage.
But both guys are ejected.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's going to impact the game negatively from the standpoint of a player's going to be taken out of the game, and that could be a huge loss for a lot of teams.
Craziness.
You want to get to this post-free agency power rankings?
Yeah, I do, because there's hope in Houston. So ESPN did a power rankings of teams, the risers, fallers, and everybody in between after free agency. And I found it to be quite interesting. So there were some teams that jumped up.
Yep.
There were some teams that failed. I guess I could start at the bottom if you want. Do you want all of them?
Not really.
No?
No.
Where do you want me to start? You want me to start at 15? How about we start at 17? This is a perfect place to start. At number 17, the Cowboys fell from 13 to 17 after free agency. 16, the Titans jumped up a spot to 16. The Chargers jumped up a spot from 16 to 15. The Chiefs tumbled a little bit. They're now ranked 14th in the power rankings after free agency. Seattle is ranked 13. The Panthers are ranked 12. The Niners, number 11 in the power rankings, moved up from 14 on ESPN's way too early power rankings to come in at number 11 after free agency. A lot of love being shown to the Niners around
all
the league
over
on what expectations are for next year.
For as scrutinized as John Lynch was as a first-time general manager,
he's done a hell of a job.
Yeah, he really has.
Number 10 in the post-free agency power rankings for the NFL, the Houston Texans jumped up five spots. You had Tyrann Mathieu. You had Aaron Colvin. We said they needed to get better in the secondary. They did.
They brought in a lot of linemen.
They went out. I don't know if they went out and found, first team
top quality, but they brought numbers.
They're going to be better on the offensive line than they were last year, and that's a plus. Number nine,
Yeah, I know.
Your Green Bay Packers dropped the spot, but they did pick up Jimmy Graham, so that's good. Number 8, the Jacksonville Jags dropped from 5 to 8. 7 is the Falcons. 6 is the Rams. 5 is the Steelers. Number 4 is the Saints. They jumped up a couple of spots. Number 3, the Vikings. Number 2, the Patriots. And number 1, the Philadelphia Eagles. Their defense got better, which is
Eagles, no doubt, because they did. They just absolutely, it's like piling on with all the guys that they added defensively. The thing that bothered me was New England at 2 because they lost so many different guys.
But they were 1 in the early season.
Right, so
power
they only
rankings.
Slipped down 1.
Right.
And you lose Solder, and you lose Amendola, and you lose the running back, Deion. You lose all these different guys. You lose the my Butler. You lose 4 starters that were really, really significant players. You sign back a special teams guy and another guy, but you only fall 1 spot. I'm not sure I'm hip with that.
The team that I would make a case to move ahead of the Patriots after the offseason is the Vikings. They have them at 3, but adding Kirk Cousins to a team that really didn't have any weaknesses anywhere else other than at quarterback, and quarterback helped them, and you just didn't know what you were going to get from a Case Keenum or Sam Bradford or Teddy Bridgewater in the next year. Were they going to be able to repeat it? But adding Kirk Cousins, the little blurb that they write, this is amazing. Check this out. It says, the Vikings have been around since 1961. They've never had a quarterback throw for at least 20 touchdowns in 3 consecutive seasons. Since 61, no quarterback has thrown for 3 touchdowns or 20 touchdowns in 3 seasons. Cousins has at least 25 in his last 3.
I mean, they had Fran Tarkenton.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, so we can continue to talk a little football if you want. Also, I saw something that I completely called BS on. I don't know if you saw it too, because I'm big on looking at the mock drafts. USA Today and For the Win took a combination of 6 mock drafts from their own people, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, CBS, Bleacher Report, and their For the Win people, and they guesstimated where every player would go and then assumed each team would take them.
Okay.
I'm calling BS. I'll tell you why when we come back. So don't go anywhere. We got much more of the show. Barry and I are at the Houston Open. Nick is back in studio. Nick is tweeting out pictures. It looks like a coffin built for Barry and I. But while we are out here, they are tearing apart our studio.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the time we get back,
the entire table is out already.
Wow. Hey, guys, come join us at Tastemakers April 4th at Silver Street Studios. We'll have an amazing cuisine from Houston's top restaurants. And this is the kicker here, open bar. An open bar to get blitzed, huh? What? Okay. Don't mind if we do. I will partake in the open bar for sure. If I can make it out, I'm definitely partaking in the open bar. Tickets are now on sale for only $55 at culturemap.com/tastemakers. That's culturemap.com/tastemakers is where you can grab your tickets. And you better get them while they last because they go fast at the door. You're going to pay more. I think it's $65. But Tastemakers is the thing now, man. If you love good restaurant food, you want to get out to Tastemakers. One more time, that website, culturemap.com/tastemakers to get your tickets now.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, best marketing team in the world is working like just blood, sweat, and tears here at the Champions Pavilion. Everybody is
the best marketing team in the world as he looks at the Jim Beam marketing team. The best marketing team in the world. ESPN. Okay. I'm trying to get them to fight.
Drew, the man that keeps it high and dry. As we continue to roll on ESPN 97.5, Champions Pavilion out here at the Houston Open. It's Barry, it's Joel. Nick back at the studio. RIP to our old desk. They've
it's
ripped
gone.
It completely out of the studio. We're hoping that for all intents and purposes, with the same speed and agility that it took to get it out, that the new one gets in time.
I'm not
so
doing
that
the
by
show.
Tomorrow, Barry and I aren't sitting Indian style on the floor.
Yeah, I'm not doing the show on the floor tomorrow. I'm just not doing it.
That would not be a good look.
Nope.
If you need tournament updates, Josh Rapp, our loyal listener, evidently camera phones are not a problem anymore because he's like up in their left nostril taking pictures of everybody on the course.
Is he getting his zoom on? Is that what he's doing?
And he's tweeting them after he takes each individual picture. So
nice.
So that's out there for the taking. Astros, we're trying to get one of the big TVs here in the tent to show the Astros game. Because there are people that no doubt have – they love their golf, but there is a desire to see the world champs in their first game, as we would like to see it too.
Yeah.
So that would be good as we're trying to
I'm recording
that.
It, so I don't care. Okay. I said I thought ahead and thought, you know what? I want to watch this. Even though I'm mad at them, I want to watch it because I'm interested to see the big thing I'm looking for early on from this team is how they carry themselves. I was thinking about this the other day. And tell me if you agree or disagree or not. But you've probably seen this with teams like the Rockets as they got better too through the championship years maybe. In the past, the Astros have always been a pretty serious team. Bagwell and Biggio, they were very businesslike. You come to the ballpark, this is a job.
Yep.
We're not here to mess around, guys. This Astros team is light. They like to have fun. Club Astros, the Congerbot and the Congerbot and the water and the seeds and all of the things that this team that everybody fell in love with on this team and how young and fun and exciting they are. I'm curious to see now that they've won a World Series, now that Jose Altuve is one of the highest paid players in baseball, you've got a Justin Verlander, Brian McCann's always kind of been a stick in the mud. How much of that is going to go away? This team is getting older. They're still middle of the pack when it comes to age in the majors. They're not an old team. They're not a young team. But I'm curious to see, do they lose a little bit of that? Now it's a little more serious. Teams are gunning for them. They're not just the kids out there having fun, happy to be here and playing baseball. It's more business-like now. So I'm curious, more than anything, what's the attitude of this team? Are they having as much fun as they used to?
Are they going to be a little tighter?
Yes.
Are they going to be a little bit more like you said, a little bit more hyper-focused and pressing because they're trying to repeat. They know there's a target on their back. I'm with you on that. It was interesting. It was a great interview last night on the way home. I heard Fred and AJ talking to Phil Garner, and Phil Garner said, look, the thing that he's most concerned about with this team, because he did feel like they were better than a year ago in terms of the players they've added in the bullpen and what they've done, but he said, last year it seemed like every ball that they needed to fall in hit the chalk. This year, what happens if it goes foul?
Yep.
All the plays seem to go their way. Look at everybody was glued to their TVs last night when they replayed Game 5 of the World Series, and you could see just how many times Marwin's going to hit a home run off of Jansen and those kind of things, big-time moments. That's a thing that you're going to have to face head-on, too, and you're right. That goes kind of to the demeanor and stuff like, too. Part of the reason why no moment was too big for them was because they were loose.
Yeah.
Will they have that same kind of loosey-goosey this year? That's a great call. I'm interested in that as well.
I think you don't win a World Series if you don't get those breaks, though. You'll hear it all the time. That ball that hits the chalk line, the getting lucky here. And I mean, that's a big part of winning that World Series is having the breaks go your way. So, yeah, it is going to be interesting because you can't expect that to happen. But my big thing was I don't know. There's two teams I think that might be too big to fail, and they just happen to end up being in the same the same league, and that's the Yankees and the Astros. This is both of these teams are so deep and so good. I think they're kind of like everyone thought in basketball where the Warriors and the Rockets were on a collision course. I kind of feel like that's what it is this year. The Yankees and the Astros are on a collision course, but we'll find out. And that's why I say I think they might be more businesslike. Dude, the Bronx Bombers, the Yankees, that's the young, fun team now. Those are the guys that are just having a good time and doing their thing.
But you still have the Brett Gardners, and you got the guys that are a little uptight.
Man, I'm telling you, that's a team that's very young and hungry and has something to prove after last year. And they're going to have a lot of fun. The mix of talent. Dude, they have two guys that could come up if they could find positions for them that could be Rookie of the Year. Two guys that could win Rookie of the Year on that team. So
you know where I think they're going to hurt that people aren't talking about? Rookie manager.
I mentioned that in my preview. Yeah. He already screwed up in spring training. I don't know if you saw that, but he didn't warm up a guy. We're talking about Aaron Boone. He got hired to be the Yankees manager. He's
from the broadcast booth.
Yeah, from the broadcast booth. And in one of his spring training games, he forgot to warm up a guy. Dela Betances comes out of the game, goes into the locker room, starts to cool down. They come back out for the next inning to pitch. There's nobody on the bump. And he looks around. He goes, we didn't warm anybody up. They got to go get Dela Betances. Bring him back out of the dugout and put him back out there for an out while they warm up a
pitcher.
That's
where a guy could get hurt.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's a bad move when you're a rookie manager.
I think that'll cost them. We'll get to our predictions later. In the 3 o'clock hour, we'll break down what the experts are saying, what we think, and break down predictions for the divisions and the wild cards and all that kind of fun stuff. Right now, I want to tell you about the Houston Rockets. We know how good they are. They're going to be the number one seed in the West, the best record overall, and they're headed to the playoffs. But we also know with Chris Paul and company, this team's going to be good not just this year but for the next couple of years. And now with 2018-19 season tickets on sale, they have a special deal that really may catch your eye. That's because for the first time ever, you can get season tickets for the next 3 years in the club level, and if you lock in now, you can guarantee that you never will have a price increase during those 3 years. The one price that you pay is all you're going to pay, and the numbers will not go up regardless of how the team does and how everything goes down throughout the course of the season or seasons. So that is a big deal. And on top of that, one of the extra special things about the offer is if you lock in for 3 years, you also get priority for this year's playoff tickets. You know the Rockets are going to the playoffs. You know how hard those tickets are going to be to get your hands on. Well, you have first priority if you get this deal with these club seats. So check them out. Like I said, all different levels of season tickets are available. All you got to do is go to Rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK. We're a ticket rep. We'll talk you through all the different plans and options and the ways that you can get a priority for playoff tickets as well. Check them out, Rockets.com or 713-627-DUNK.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Ashlyn and the crew doing a great job out here at the Champions Tent on 18. Stop by and see him. Say hi. Say you listen to ESPN 97.5. Wow, the scores are rolling in. Lucas Glover, 7-under right now in the opening round. The pros tear this course up. It is long. It is strong. But they know what they're doing. I was telling Barry during the break, ridiculous how accurate these guys are on this long course. They turn it up right now. The weather conditions, as you mentioned, Barry, fantastic. Rain softened it up overnight, and they are taking full advantage. Stop by, see us. As I mentioned, Champions Pavilion tent on the 18th fairway. We're here. You can stop by. Nick back at the studio keeping us on the air. We appreciate that.
You can
that.
Stop by there, too.
Stop by.
No, yeah, don't do that.
RIP to the desk that was in our studio. So if you want to give flowers, we can lay them down in the spot where the desk used to be.
We're going to have a new fancy news desk-style desk where we'll be sitting next to each other and we'll be on video. So I propose to you guys, since we're going to be live streaming on video, two things. One, we should wear suits.
I got that covered.
Okay. Two, we should probably work on getting hot chicks on the show. Nick, are you all over that?
I'm open to that for sure. And the desk is already, the new desk is already in the studio. So.
Oh, wow. They didn't mess around.
Follow at the producer, Nick. He's been sending pictures out with updates as things happen in our studio while we are out. We were concerned that we'd have to do the show tomorrow Indian style because the desk was out. We weren't sure the new one was getting in, but now Nick telling us the desk
you,
is
sweetie.
In. So there is a lot of action going on while we are out. We look forward to seeing it tomorrow when we're back in studio. But for today, perfect. Little breeze. Weather's
I love it.
Nice
it is a
here.
Nice day. Get out here. Watch some golf.
Yeah.
You were talking about when I had mentioned the greens being ideal after the rain. That was the best time for me to play golf. I'm not a great golfer. The best I ever did was I think I shot an 89 at Bear Creek, which almost doesn't count. That's like hitting 50 home runs in a season, but you play for the Rockies. It's kind of cheating, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to still have some skills to shoot an 89 at Bear Creek. So I was playing a lot, but I always did notice like I'll hit some thin, I'll hit some fat, but when the ground is wet, I had a much better chance of striking the ball the way you're supposed to, as opposed to when it's not. And I don't know why that is, but I always played so much better when the ground was wet. So I would try to get out there after a rain
and
play.
And one of the things, when good golfers can create backspin and get a ball to check up.
I can't do
but
that.
But average golfers can't. So when the grounds are wet, the ball has a tendency to stop on its own more because of hitting it. So that's
–
yeah. So, you know, basically a good day to be out here. We've been kicking it around, talking about a lot of things. We're actually looking forward to the Astros, which should be pretty much any minute now, isn't it?
2:35, I think, was first pitch.
So, yeah, within 2 minutes from now, we should be having Astros baseball starting, which is great. Lots of baseball going on around the league. We were talking about power rankings in the NFL, the Hall of Fame for basketball announcements leaking out right now as we're hearing Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Grant Hill, Maurice Cheeks, Rod Thorne, longtime coach and general manager in the league and former player, all look to be in. Rudy T out, so that is not good if you're a Rockets aficionado.
Not good at all.
Cubs leading the Marlins 8-4, top of the eighth. And Lamar Jackson of Louisville had his pro day in which he threw under center because that was a big deal because they said during college all he ever did was get the ball out of the shotgun.
Right.
But he still refuses to run the 40. He says, if you want to know what I can do, look at the tape. That either means he's dinged up or he doesn't want any more crap and hype about him playing wide receiver because of his speed.
Or he is a little concerned that he may not live up to the requirements.
Think so.
That other teams are putting on.
Come on,
it.
Man. Could There's be. No quarterback that's going to run as fast as that dude.
No,
that dude
but maybe lightning. they have unrealistic expectations for him. Maybe he doesn't want to be a running quarterback.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Look, as long as he's considered a quarterback, I think he'll be happy because I think it's a slap in the face that you're taking a guy saying he's not accurate enough and that he's going to play. He should play wide receiver. When you look at his completion percentage, it was better than a lot of guys that are being rumored to being taken in the top 10.
Yeah.
Oh, and on that, I did want to get to this.
Okay.
So I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, you did.
For the win. You know, they're taking a cross-section of six different mock drafts, and they're telling you who's going to go where. So, number one, they got Darnold, okay? They said his average spot, 1.6. Best position first, worst position, he falls no lower than third, okay? Number two, the Giants, Josh Allen of Wyoming. So they pass on Barkley. They pass on Chubb. They pass on Chubb. The defender, Bradley Chubb, and they look at another quarterback, which I don't see happening as long as they've said they're going to keep Eli. Then they have the Jets who moved up taking Barkley.
Okay.
Instead of a quarterback, which everybody said is why they moved up. And then they had the Browns taking Bradley Chubb at 4, then the Broncos, Josh Rosen at 5, and then the Colts guard Quentin Nelson to Notre Dame at 6, and so on and so forth from there. I think taking a cross-section, I'd be better off if you just ranked. That's one of those deals where you say top-ranked players available, regardless of team needs.
Right.
But don't tell me that all those quarterbacks are going to teams that have so many other needs, like the Giants who need defense and a running back, like the Jets who moved up to take a quarterback and you don't have them taking one. I don't think it's very accurate.
But I think a lot of people see that the Giants are going to need somebody to
eventually, long-term.
Yeah.
All right, you want me to blow it out of the water for you even more? The Niners at number 9 with Jimmy Garoppolo, they have him taking Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make
Makes
sense.
Makes no sense.
This must have been one of those things where it averaged out. Because
that's what I'm saying. The average of all six picks, and they're trying to guesstimate.
That doesn't make sense, yeah.
That's where you just give the possible draft position where he gets picked, but don't give the team because it makes no sense.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah, pretty dumb.
Who do they have the Texans taking in the first round? Oh,
that's right. Well, let's go to the second round then.
Damn it.
I don't think they went in depth enough to go in the third round with the three picks that the Texans have. So you'll just have to wait and see how they do on that one. Other than that, on this day,
uh-oh,
in 1982,
uh-huh,
North Carolina beat Georgetown on a shot by some guy that was eh. Michael Jordan hit the game winner as we get close to the Final Four this weekend in San Antonio.
Yeah. When we were talking about that NFL rule about leading with your head and the fines and all that, we got a couple of texts that I didn't get to. Somebody said, bend forward at the waist, and your head is in front of your shoulders. And unless you remove your head, it's always going to be that way. It's a good point. It's going to be difficult for these guys to adjust to this rule, I do believe. Barry, I see a defensive end beat his block, sack a QB, cause a fumble, defensive end recover, seals a victory for the team, but wait, it's a flag, roughing the passer, 15 yards, automatic first down. The NFL has changed, sadly. It has. Now, I'm not going to argue with the fact that something has to be done to help protect the players. I'm just not going to. I do agree with that, but again, you need to go about it the right way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely. And again, like anything else, especially when it's done by the NFL, they won't get it right the first time. So you know that's something that they're going to hopefully treat as a work in progress and try and improve it as we go, because the way it's set up right now, I think it's set up for failure. There's going to be a lot of people picking it apart on a weekly basis, especially when you get that first time that an impact player on the defensive side of the ball gets ejected.
Yes.
That's going to be a huge, huge deal. Can you imagine Clowney? Imagine the tackle that Clowney made on the running back from Michigan. But imagine that the referee he led with his head a little bit. Mm-hmm. And imagine the referee throws the penalty, and it's in the third quarter of a tight game, and he's having an impact on the run game and rushing the quarterback. And all of a sudden they go 15 yards, and he gone.
Man.
That's going to cause quite the stir.
Yep. People are going to be upset about it, man.
No question about it. So that'll be interesting to see. I mentioned follow at the producer, Nick. The studio's looking rather professional.
It is. It looks really good. It is going to be weird to be that close to you during a broadcast.
Yeah, Nick was saying, is there another piece to it? Like, so we can stay farther apart. And we're like, well, at least Charlie gets the ass end of the desk on the
we plus, when we have guests, end. Like we had.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, how are we going to, like, when, what was the Cholo
Frankie?
Fake? Yeah, when Frankie was in studio, where would he sit?
Right next to me.
That's a really good
question.
On
my left, and it would just be the three of us. If Charlie just gets the end no matter what, we're putting him on the end.
Charlie should have to. You know what we should do that would make it look really classy, almost Rich Eisen-esque, is add a little seat with a mic. Put like a leather chair in there with a mic and let him sit there.
Well, you know, at Randall's.
That would be nice.
My wife is the queen, by the way, of mid-aisle marketing. You know how, like, you're going through the down the aisles of the store, and in the middle, smack dab hanging there, they'll have, like, try this toothbrush cleaner or try this. You know, soap holder.
Yeah.
My wife always goes, oh, look at that. We could use one of those. I'm like, these people have you in mind. Yes. So we go down the one aisle, and they have, you know, the great, like out here at the golf tournament, the people bring those great fold-up chairs that are real comfortable with the drink holders built in. Everything. They have one for kids. So she goes, let's get one for Taylor. It's only $7.99, and she can have her own chair. And I go, I'm thinking to myself, let me just put that in the studio, and Charlie can sit there on Mondays and Fridays.
Oh, you're such an a-hole. Wow. That was not nice. Shots fired.
But it would work.
He's driving home listening right now.
Brian Barrett's listening from the other side on the sister station, and he was mad we didn't give more love to the Patriots. Suck it, Brian. We don't give that much love to the Patriots, and they shouldn't be number two when they lose four starters and gain a special teams player. Just saying.
Now, I know we ran the audio from Steven Jackson a few days ago, right?
Yeah, some of it.
Where we talked about him and
Parker and Janobe.
Yeah, where he said he can be selfish. And by this comment, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes Kawhi want to leave. Because this USA Today is just now reporting it. They said, expert Steven Jackson, I wouldn't be surprised if Kawhi Leonard wants out.
Dude, get with
how is this breaking news? This was 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Listen to the usual suspects. Yeah. We're ahead of the game, people.
Come on, USA Today.
Half the time, the stuff we don't get to is stuff that other shows get to 2 days later, and we're like, we had it. We just had more important stuff to cover. Right,
be better. Better.
That's what we're talking about. If you're better, you're here at the Champions Pavilion at the Houston Open, stopping in to see us as you watch some great golf action. But, hey, oh, we have an update, Nick. Breaking news. From Arlington, for all you people at the golf tournament caring about the Astros and can't get them on TV, home run George Springer. That's the way you start the season, Astros. Way to go. So
hey,
the Stros on the board
early.
Hey,
spoiler alert. Come on, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm recording this at the house.
Barry's taping the game, so say earmuffs every time I say another Astros update.
Okay.
But for you, the people, I'll keep you informed.
Okay.
Astros with a Springer dinger. We love it.
I'm not taping the game. I don't have a VCR. So let's just be real clear about that. It's no taping of the game.
Ashlyn's drinking ketchup out of the dispenser.
Is that what that was?
It looked like it. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We're at the midway point of the show or a little bit further than that, but deep in hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects from the Houston Open on ESPN 97.5.
Jump around. Jump up and get down.
You know who it is.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Houston Open. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5, Barry and Joel from the Houston Open and the Champions Pavilion on the 18th fairway. Nick back on at the studio keeping us on the air and making sure that they don't bury us when they blow up the studio to create a new one while we're away. George Springer, if you missed it, just hit his 100th career home run, his second straight year starting the season with a ding-dong, and the Astros already have a lead. Ain't this team grand?
1-0. Bregman followed it with a double.
Yeah.
And then Altuve grounded out. I just don't think it's his year.
That guy.
I mean,
flash,
you know.
Flash in the pan. Get the money.
He's already fallen off.
Falls to crap.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy than Cole Hamels.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Mm-mm. No, after he dissed the Astros, chose not to come to Houston.
Dump, poo-pooed on H-Town.
Said he didn't want to be here. He wanted to play for a contender. Hey, Cole Hamels, suck it.
Yeah, how's that feel right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can always rely on Darvish being behind you in the road. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, it's too bad. Enjoy that. Yeah, how's your starting pitching? Good. So, yeah, the Astros with an early lead. That's always good to see.
We'll have our MLB preview, picking our winners and
yep.
awards and all that coming up at 3 o'clock.
Nick, are you prepared?
I am not prepared.
I'll take that as a no.
There was a couple of things on the front page of ESPN. So apparently, Gurriel is going to go ahead and serve the 5-game suspension now, so it doesn't look like he's going to miss much time. They expect him to return. He avoided the disabled list, right. So they expect him to return to action next week.
Now, can I just throw this out there
okay.
in terms of cagey moves? I would expect that the Astros maybe fudged on his medical report just so that you get those 5 games out of the way. While he's still maybe medically not yet there.
They bought themselves 5 days.
I think they're going to save it and realize he's close.
In other words, he would have missed those 5 days no matter what.
Right. So here's the thing. If they say he's not quite there yet, MLB won't let you say, all right, well, then when they start the season, those games don't count. You don't start counting the games of the suspension till he's healthy and ready to play.
That's right.
This way, I think you do that now, get those games out of the way.
Oh,
if he's
yeah.
not ready,
there's
still,
no doubt.
You still just don't, you know, you don't have him playing. And
it's
then,
convenient, that's for sure.
Yep.
There's another, this was, that was a tweet from Jerry Krasnick on the front page of the Astros ESPN page. But yep. here's another one, or another, I guess not a tweet, but just info. Astros owner Jim Crane said that the team will give out 900 World Series rings to players, coaches, front office officials, and other club employees next week.
Are they all real?
900. We want everybody to enjoy it, including the ushers and the guys working in the back of the building. Crane said some people have been with us 20 to 30 years.
Some people are getting QZs, though.
Commissioner Rob Manfred will be on hand for the ring ceremony on Tuesday. I think he gets a ring, so that's why he's coming.
But there, you could believe that some of them are cubic zirconia.
Yeah, they're definitely not giving out the ones the players are getting.
Those
the ushers
are like
aren't getting.
10 grand a
yeah.
ring.
Ushers aren't getting. Yeah. Not happening.
No.
$9 million in rings. I don't think so.
No, sir.
I don't think. But that's a good move. That's a cool move, classy move by Jim Crane. Despite how I feel about it all, I think that's still a nice
gesture.
Yeah, gesture on his part to include everybody. Because, like you said, there have been people that have been there 20 to 30 years, and it's nice for them to get some recognition for the part that they play within that organization. So good for them.
No doubt about it. Other scores around baseball, the early game was the Cubs at the Marlins. Kyle Schwarber, if you haven't seen him since his
lookout
chunky self days of the catcher slash outfielder for the Cubs, he's hitting leadoff now. He did this whole complete like body resurrection and redo. And first pitch of the game, or first at bat of the game, he crushed a home run. Cubs are winning 8-4. End of the eighth inning.
He's not hitting leadoff. He's not their leadoff hitter. Ian Happ is.
For the Cubs. Ian Happ hit the leadoff home
yeah.
run for
Schwarber's,
the Cubs.
Schwarber's probably
Schwarber
fourth
also
or fifth.
Hit a home run, as did Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
And Anthony Rizzo, the great story there because of the fact that. He's wearing the patch.
Yep, for his high school.
For the high school that was where all the shootings took place in Florida. And
Schwarber is going to be key for the Cubs, man. He's going to be sneaky good. He's one of those guys that had high expectations. Actually got sent down, spent a little time in the minors because he struggled so much last year. But got his body right, maybe got his mind right. And I tell you what, if Schwarber meets expectations for what people thought he could be,
yep.
the Cubs are going to be serious because I've always felt like the Cubs – once you get past their four or five guys, the rest of that lineup isn't as scary. But if you have a Kyle Schwarber that's performing to the level of expectation, that makes a huge difference in that lineup.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, the Cubs are loaded.
Yeah.
You know, they're loaded, and we laugh about Hugh Darvish, but adding Hugh Darvish to John Lester, to the pitching staff that they already have, and you know that Theo Epstein and his crew do a great job of just retooling whenever they lose players. The Cubs are always going to be there. We said the Cardinals are going to be a little less than stellar. They're losing right now 8-4 to the Mets in their opener in New York. So what remains to be seen there. You and I are both high on the Brewers, but they're still a little light in pitching.
Speaking of the Cardinals, yesterday when we were touching on this, because somebody asked about the Cardinals, was it Josh Rapp, I believe?
Yeah, who's out here.
Yeah, and I mentioned the fact that they have, to me, the Cardinals' big question going into the season is closer. Luke Gregerson is their closer. Hurt. Went out and signed Greg Holland, who is a name that I mentioned.
They really?
Yeah, they went out and signed Greg Holland. So that bodes well for the Cardinals. I don't know, Greg Holland kind of collapsed in the second half of the season last year, but he still is going to add some depth. To me, it's probably insurance for Gregerson, but don't be surprised if the Cardinals become bullpen by committee, which, to me, to translate it into football perspective, whenever you see running back by committee, that's a bad thing in football. That's different than saying what New Orleans had, which was there were defined roles for both of those running backs in New Orleans. When you go to a running back by committee, that just means we don't have anybody good enough to take the reins and be the starter.
Right.
Which wasn't the case in New Orleans. They did have two guys that could be the starter, but it was that thunder and lightning. They brought something different. It wasn't a committee. It was playing the situations. Whenever you see a bullpen go to bullpen by committee, that means they don't have a clear, defined closer. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, and if you're relying on Gregerson and then he's hurt, what does that say about his reliability? And he had his ups and downs with the Astros a year ago as well. They kind of got him on the cheap, thought that they could probably, just fill in for a short term, but that makes more sense. Signing a guy like Holland is a proven closer, as you said, that can help them. Offensively, I'm not sold on the rest of their lineup top to bottom, and of course, the division isn't as great as it once was, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So we'll get to our predictions in the final hour of the show. Until then, we're broadcasting live from the Houston Open, having some fun. Feel free to join us. You can call 713-780-3776, where you can text, you can call, you can tweet us, as we're always on Twitter. And we'll go from there and take it from here.
Julian Rodriguez on Twitter said, put a casting couch in the new studio. No, we're not putting a casting couch in the studio. Julian and Josh Fernandez said, let me see here. Hello, Barry. Springer Dinger. Damn it. It's already started.
I thought you caught it when I said it.
Oh, it's already started. You guys drive me nuts. I'll forgive you if you meet me at Cowboys and Indians for lunch one day. I will forgive everybody. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen is located. If you have been one of the few guys that have heard my voice and have not gone out there yet, first of all, punch yourself in the face because you're dumb. You should be eating at Cowboys and Indians. Then get out there to 1901 Taft in Midtown and check out the food. Guys, when we did our remote, all day long listeners were showing up eating the food, and as they left, they confirmed what I've been telling you for almost a year now. The food is ridiculously good. It's a mix of both Southern comfort and Indian food, so that means maybe one day you want to have, maybe the best butter chicken in Houston. You can do that at Cowboys and Indians. Then the next day, you want chicken fried steak. They got you covered there. Then you want chicken curry, wings, sliders. It doesn't matter. The menu is insane and diverse. And if you like burgers, get out there and try the Himalayan Heat Burger. One of the best burgers in this city, hands down. It is a must-try burger in H-Town. Get out there to 1901 Taft in Midtown and give it a shot. Now, on this show, Joel and myself and Nick, we're kind of partial to the non-quesadillas. It's quesadillas made with non-bread. They put some chicken in there. There's this sauce they have called the 65 sauce. It's outstanding. You dip it in there. Oh, you're going to love it. And since it's our favorite, you can save 20% if you go order the non-quesadillas at Cowboys and Indians. Just mention that you listen to the Usual Suspects in ESPN 97.5. You'll save some cash right there. You can have Cowboys and Indians delivered to your door via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. So there's no reason not to try Cowboys and Indians. It's all delicious. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI 713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5.